Good evening. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To be a Christian businessman is just as impossible as to be a Christian politician. This is how many believers perceive these two professions. Now we know that as adults, our first decision is to make sure that whatever we decide to do as our profession, that it must not be wrong in itself. If that particular profession is against Scripture, we should never endeavor in it. For example, some of you may, in your past before salvation, work as a bartender, and you may have a very, very skillful way of mixing all those complicated and delicious alcoholic drinks. After salvation, you realize that that particular profession has to be a taboo. You cannot be involved and stand behind the bar as a Christian anymore. But you are very skillful in mixing all these drinks. But that particular skill will have to be set aside because total abstinence must now be your new biblical and found conviction. Total abstinence. And so when you and I look at the life of a businessman, the business itself must not be against the teaching of God's word. You cannot sell alcohol. You cannot sell those vape thing or whatever that may be legal in some country, but definitely not scriptural. Some country, they allow you to sell marijuana for medical purposes. But does that mean that you should, as a Christian, even though it may be legal? So the Bible will be our guide in our decision making. Now, having said that, let's say that profession is acceptable in God's eyes. It is not wrong in itself for a Christian to be in it. But can a Christian be a successful businessman? That is the key, isn't it? I mean, if you be a businessman and you go bankrupt within a year, then you can tell people, well, I was a Christian man, a Christian businessman for a year, but it did not work out. But is it possible to be a successful businessman holding on to your Christian principles without compromise? In our context, in our world, you talk to many, many believers, they'll probably tell you it's not possible, just like a politician. In our multi-religious and multi-racial society, is it possible for a Christian to be a godly politician? Same idea, same principle, isn't it? So what we have tonight is a collection of Bible verses from the book of Proverbs only that will help us have a brief overview of what a godly businessman, a Christian businessman, ought to be like. There is no profession that a Christian cannot be a holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in. As long as that profession is not against any teaching of God's word, and you are convicted and called to be in that particular profession, God has given to us all that we need for every believer in every age to succeed. And so it has to begin with our mind, our thinking. That's the key. The thinking determines the desire. The desire determines the words that come out of our mouth and the actions of our hands and the places our feet will bring us. And so the Christian mind will be our first focus. Now, as you know from the responsive reading, it is not according to the chronological order of the chapter in the book of Proverbs. It's based upon a thematic study. And so the first focus is the mind of a Christian. What should be the Christian mind ought to be? What should it be? That's how you must begin. And this thinking has to be maintained. If it is not maintained, you may start with this thinking, but along the way, the pressure of keeping your business growing, the pressure of keeping your business alive, may cause you to forget your original scriptural conviction. It happens to all of us, even for those who are in the ministry. We change. Sometimes we don't change for the better. when we become carnal, we forget our original Christian principles in life. And so let us now look at the Christian mind. And this Christian mind has to be maintained and sustained as long as you are in business. The moment you retire from your business or you sell it, you hand it over, fine. But as long as you are in business and if you have started your own business and you do not have such a mind, it is not too late to fix it. And so what actually ought to be the Christian understanding? Verse 4 and verse 5 of chapter 28. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. You don't have to go out and say, I believe in lying, I believe in wickedness, I believe in cheating. You don't have to openly declare such statement. From God's perspective, the one who forsake the law, that means as a Christian, okay? The book of Proverbs are for Christians, for the people of Israel, people of God. This is not for the people of the world, nor for unbelievers. Unbelievers cannot do this. Even though they have been taught it, they just do not have the ability to obey it. And even if they could, it's only superficial, it's skin deep. It's not a conviction of heart. The book of Proverbs are to be obeyed by born-again believers as evidence of their salvation in almost every aspect of their lives. That's what the book of Proverbs is. And don't forget that when you study the book of Proverbs. That's what's how we started from the very beginning. And here we have they that forsake the law. And can a Christian ever say and turn his back on the law of God? Never. A Christian will never do that. And so they that forsake the law praise the wicked. Simple as that. But such as keep the law, contend with them. And so when you live a life in your business world, according to the Holy Scripture, that's all you need to do. By that obedience, by that Christian morals and ethics that you carry with you, when you conduct yourself at all levels of your employment, you may have joined as someone under probation. And so you behave as a Christian for the 3 months while you're under probation. Your diligence, your Christian ethics, your language will be different. No vulgarity. Everything will be different. And then they find your work acceptable. They confirm you. And so now you will be the youngest, the newest employee in that company. And then you continue. And then before you know it, you get promoted. They now see someone who is dependable, who is diligent, who is honest, who is trustworthy. You tell me which company will not want this kind of employee. Every owner, every employer that has a sound mind, who will not want someone who is honest that you know will never, never betray, cheat, lie, deceive. Whatever you trust him to do, he will get it done on time and it will be done well. Who would not want such an individual? And if you are a businessman, an employer, and this is your characteristic, your standard of operation, why would not people want to deal with such an honest person where there are no hidden agenda, no hidden costs anywhere? Everything you do is transparent and above board, and your word is your bond. You follow the law. Your word is your bond. And sometimes, even though on paper, it may not have been as clear as what you have spoken with a handshake, what you have spoken on that handshake will now stand. Even though on paper, legal document, there may be some gray area, but as far as you're concerned, those gray areas are black and white. If it's in the favor of your business competitor, never mind, it's okay. You keep your word. Whatever business you enter into, the other person, if it's to his advantage because you give your word, it's okay. Your word is more important to you above everything else. That's what it means by keep the law. But such as keep the law, contend with them. By the mere fact that you obey the law with the Christian principles, you will shine and expose their darkness. All their laziness and all those terrible, terrible things that people do when every one of them does the same. Let's say everyone comes in at 9:30. Everyone will just simply stop work at 12:30. Everyone will not come back until 2 p.m. They maximize their lunch time that is allotted to them. But here you are, you come in at 8. You finish your lunch within half an hour and you come back and you work. Because you have work to do. You want to catch up so that you will not have to sacrifice your church prayer meeting or your worship on Sunday. You get everything done as fast as possible, as soon as possible, because you have your Christian principles and responsibilities to fulfill before God. And if you procrastinate, you delay, you deliberately slow down your work, you know all these other important Christian activities will have to be compromised. And you will not want that. And so you will put in the time and you will work hard. By the simple diligence and all these Christian principles of working, where this life that you have in the church with God's people, all these, the rest of the world don't have. They have recreation, they have their fun and games, and that's it. Do they have anything that is so important to them as the most important, that has everything to do with God and Christ? They don't have. You have. So when they procrastinate, what do they have to give up? Personal time. Personal recreation. That's it. Maybe family. That's it. But for you, your heart and soul, your worship, your prayer in church for God's people, for your family, for yourself, these are like breathing to you. And therefore, you work hard. You give up your 1.5 hour lunch. You just spend half an hour. That extra hour is critical. You come in early to get things done. You don't mean to show them up. But you just want to get your work done as quick as possible, as soon as possible. By the mere fact that you conduct yourself in this manner, Christ-likeness, straight away, they will be offended. You don't have to openly rebuke them and say to them, why do you do this? Why do you do that? You don't have to say anything. By the mere Christian ethics and morality that you base your conduct and your life on, that would be more than enough. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. You see, you understand. You understand the importance of the spiritual aspect of your life. That is your heart and soul. That is your new personality and your new existence. You are now a spiritual person already. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that is holy, and therefore you're holy within and you're holy without. Will the world understand this kind of experiences and this kind of importance and significance? Absolutely not. No matter how hard you try, they can't understand it. They can see it because they can see it in you. But can they appreciate it, stand in your shoes and try to experience why you do all these things? They can't. They may even think that you are strange and you are foolish. They give you 1.5 hour for lunch. Why don't you just simply sit there and fool around? What do you want to go back and work for? They don't understand. They're not here to just simply do everything from a legalistic, contractual standpoint. You're there to be a holy witness for Christ. Not for self-glory, not for anything material or any hidden agenda, just simply be a holy witness for your Savior. Do you have this understanding? That's the key. That's the mindset and mentality. Follow what the Word of God has taught you to do. There is no third alternative. If you are not obeying the law and you forsook it, you will be in sin. God says you are praising the wicked. Because you are behaving just like them. But the difference is you call yourself a Christian. So when a Christian are just like the non-Christian, let's say, they come to work late, you come to work late. They laze around, you laze around. They have hidden agenda, you have hidden agenda. They are constrained and motivated by promotion and bonuses, you do the same. You are a Christian. God says, by what you are doing, imitating their carnality, you are praising them. And you and I know, the highest form of praise is what? Imitation, right? Isn't it? You imitate this idol of yours, how he dresses, how he speaks, how he cut his hair, how he dresses, what kind of brand goods, shoes that he wears. All these things, you dress like him, you buy everything that he buys. Imitation is the highest form of praise, isn't it? So, you call yourself a Christian, and you imitate from the motive of the carnal employee to his conduct, his speech, his behavior, everything. Are you not praising him? And you are now a Christian. Christian praising carnal behavior. And in this case, wickedness. Do they understand the judgment that will soon fall upon them? No. You're supposed to. You understand all things, literally. Because God revealed it to you in the Bible. How the world began, how the world will end. You also understand how God will judge. You look at the testimonies recorded in the Bible. How did God judge Abraham, Isaac, when they lie? How did God judge false prophets like Balaam? How did God judge David, a man after God's own heart, when he committed adultery? How did God judge Joshua, Moses? All! You can see that. And if you behave like David, you behave like this person, that person, you know what is going to come. You know how God is going to deal with you, just as he dealt with the saint or unbeliever in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. You understand all things. That's exactly what the Bible says, you know. This is the Christian mindset. That's how you begin. In order for you to be a Christian businessman that is pleasing and acceptable to God. And with that mindset, your conduct will change, as mentioned before. Your thinking controls your desire. Your desire will determine where you go or where you do not go, and what you do when you are where you're supposed to be. Right before salvation, money is the anchor and foundation of my future. The more I have, the more secure my future is. Supposing I retire at the age of 63, and if I live on to the age of 80, I have 17 years to live by, holding on, maintaining my present standard of living. So how much money do I need by the time I retire at the age of 63 in my bank account, taking inflation into the equation? I calculate, how much I spend per year now for the next 17 years, assuming that I can live up to 80, maintaining my present lifestyle. I must have this X amount. And so now I work hard, and if I work hard, it's still not enough, I will take a little bit of risk by buying some kind of shares. I might even go to the casino once in a while to see whether I can be lucky. So I would think and reason, right? Because my thinking is, money will give me a secured future. More of it, of course. And because of this thinking, I will take steps and I will do whatever I am able to do with whatever I have right now, my connection, my possession, and my ability. Right? Thinking determines my desire, and so I go to the places and do the things that will help me accomplish my goal. It all starts with the thinking, controlling desire, my action. But when the thinking is biblical, when thinking is what we just talked about in chapter 28, verse 4 and verse 5, at all costs, I must always obey God's law. I must keep studying the Bible so that I can obey God's word. Now, this is my thinking now. I will obey God's word at all costs. I'm prepared to suffer whatever need, if I have to suffer, but I must never, never result in disobedience. And if I do, at times, I will repent and ask God for forgiveness, and then start to obey God's word all over again. Now, is this your conviction of heart? Then your life will be lived accordingly, your deeds, your actions. Who can say, I've made my heart clean, I'm pure from my sin? Only Christians can do that, can say that, right? So do you want this or not? In your conduct and behavior, holy within, holy without. Carnal within, carnal without. Consistency. Holy within, carnal without. No peace of mind, chastisement will soon follow. True? Carnal within, holy without, hypocrisy. How long will it last? You pretend. You may have a very strong willpower. You may last longer than other hypocrites. But how long? How long will you hold on? Carnal within, try to be holy without pretending. Coming to church Sunday after Sunday, put up a good front, a good show, a good front. For how long? Before you get so tired of this pretense. And then you just simply let everything go. Just stop coming to church completely. That's it. Change your phone number. People just simply could not contact you, as if you have just dropped off the face of the world. Can't take it anymore. Hypocrisy. But to someone who is holy within and holy without, that is his new nature now. And he is very happy, very delighted in the Christian deeds that he will do, because he is a Christian now. Who can say, I've made my heart clean? The Lord has made my heart clean, has he not? I now have the love of God in my heart, which I never possessed before. Previously, the love of self, the love of family, but never the love of God. I'm pure from my sin. The moment I know I have sinned, I repent. Straight away, the moment sin rears its ugly head, you're convicted in your heart and you feel so horrible about it, you repent sincerely. Time and time again, whenever that happens. And when you're able to do that, diverse ways and diverse measures, both of them are like abomination to the Lord. Do you know that the Bible here did not say, in verse 10, when you are caught using these diverse weights and diverse measures. Diverse weights means weights that may be there and it may be stipulated as 1 kg weight. The name is that 1 kg. But actually, it's only 950 grams, not exactly 1 kg. But you give this impression that it is 1 kg. The measure is supposed to be 3 meters, but actually it's 2.95. Now, of course, they do not have our ruler with all those lines and so on. They have their own way of measuring that may be very, very archaic. Not like today, all those measure and everything else is so carefully made and sold in factories. Even that, you can tamper with it. And some people might do that even nowadays. You go to the wet market, you buy this vegetable, they weigh it. How do you know their weighing machine is not tampered with? You can't tell. That's why the Bible did not say that you're caught using this kind of contraption. Then it is an abomination to the Lord. This verse 10 simply says the mere possession. Because when you possess it, when you carry this with you everywhere you go, the intent, God says the intention to cheat is an abomination already. You don't have to be caught cheating. Because nobody who is pure and clean would carry with him diverse weights and diverse measures. Because diverse weights and diverse measures, it is to be used in only one way, to cheat. There's no other reason why anyone will have in his possession or even in his home some kind of weight, some kind of measurement that is used for buying cloth or furniture. The size of your table or whatever it is they use to measure, to do business, to make money. There is no other reason for someone to possess this at all in his home or in his body, carry with him everywhere he goes, unless it has the intent to cheat. That's why the Bible is so specific. Just the fact that you have it, both of them, diverse weight, diverse measure, abomination. You and I know, God seldom used the word abomination to describe transgression. Do a simple study. Concordance, type the word abomination, and then look at all the passages, and then list out all the sin that God would call abomination in His eyes. You'll be shocked, isn't it? Just the possession of diverse ways and diverse measure is abomination? Why is God calling something so simple and so commonly done everywhere in the business world an abomination? Right? We live in a world where the desire to cheat is normal. And in some countries, if you don't, they will call you a fool, because you'll never get a contract if you do not give coffee money, if you do not do this or do that under the table. You'll never get a contract. And therefore, if you really want that contract, if you really want your boss to know that you can get this contract done for the company, you have to go by this method. Diverse weights and diverse measure method. Otherwise, guarantee you're not going to get a contract, because all your other competitors who are also submitting their bid, they will do it. And if you don't, sure you will not get it. So what are you going to do? If you don't get it, your boss trusts you to get things done, to get this contract. You may get fired, you know, friend. Your colleague will tell you. In the past, all of us, in our own way, in our other contracts, we all have done it. It's not illegal. It's definitely unethical, but it's not illegal in these third world countries in particular. And you can hide all this in the way that you frame your contract. You put in this extra here, this extra there. Everyone is going to do it. And if you do not, and even if you win the contract, this department in this ministry, that department, that ministry, they're not going to give you the green light. And your whole project will be stalled unless you give this coffee money. But the moment you did not build into your contract this coffee money, and then you want to give coffee money after that, you're going to lose money for the company. You're not going to make any profit. Oh, your bid will be the lowest. Everyone else will build into it that extra. You don't, so yours will be the lowest. But everyone knows, this person is a fool. He's going to lose money for the company. Now what are you going to do? Lose money for the company? Get the contract where without this coffee money to smoothen the wheel and get it moving. A bit here, a bit there, a bit here, a bit there. So for all the departments that you need to grease the wheel, as they say. From the moment you want to bring this product into the country, you have the immigration level, and then from there, once you got it in, and then you got to apply to this department, this ministry, and all this in order for you to get it done. And the moment you give all this money now without building into the contract, there is no way. No way. Your company is not going to lose money. Is this your thinking? If that's your thinking, guarantee your Christian conduct, your life, your deeds will be like the world. And once you're like the world, remember what the Lord says? You are praising the wicked. Imitating the wicked world as a Christian now. So the Lord says, even a child is known by his doings, how much more the adult? So the Lord says, I'm going to look at you and measure you the way that you measure the child. How do you measure a child? You know the child by the way of his doings, right? And that's exactly how I'm going to look at your life, not by your confession, not by how much of the Bible verses you memorize in your head, but I'm going to look at you by what you do. I'm going to measure you by what you do. Because by what you do, I will see the reality of your faith. Trust in God to do everything according to His law, His word, bearing a holy witness for the Lord, and all these naysayers saying that you cannot get it done, and if you get it done, you're going to lose money without your coffee money built into your contract, everything. They can say whatever they want to say. Are you going to be moved and do likewise? And the moment you do likewise, you are praising the wicked by your imitation of their methodology instead of following the word. The Lord is clear. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. The Lord knows. The Lord was the one who brought you into the company. The Lord was the one who moved the heart of your boss to entrust you with this contract and project. And now, the Lord wants to see whether you trust Him enough, or what you have been doing since the day you joined this company 3.5 years ago. Has it been just a facade of spirituality and holiness? Or is it a real, deep, heartfelt conviction whereby you will trust God in all things? Your deed. Will you do it now that you know it, right? Point one, you know it, the understanding. Now, if you do not live it out, you think the understanding alone is pleasing to God? God says, a child is known by his doings. So I will know my child by your doings too. And when you understand this, you must know what your conviction will be like. It's going to review your conviction. It's easy to talk. But how will people see a conviction that is buried deep into the soul, into the heart of a Christian? See thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men. Mean men would be the people that are uncouth, the people who are down in the streets. Kings would want you because of your diligence, because of your honesty, because of your capability, because of your unique, special ability that God will endow upon you. That when you carry out that business without all this built-in coffee money, and you get the contract, God can help you get the contract. And once the contract is carried out and executed, did the company not lose money? Yes, it did not lose money. It gained more money than if it had built into it the coffee money. Your faith will be strengthened. Your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ will truly shine so brightly in the heart and the mind of all these naysayers. You think God cannot do that? God wants to test and see the depth and the reality of your conviction, and you need to see this more in your own heart. God wants to see it in you, not in theory, but in reality. You have to actually execute it and do it, not lying down in a comfortable bed and then have this mental exchange with the Lord. You know I'm going to do it. Don't let me carry it out, Lord. You just know I'm going to do it. No, God says, you need to know that you can actually carry it out and do it. Why did God ask Abraham to actually go to Mount Moriah and tie up Isaac and then build the altar, and he was about to lift up his knife and plunge it into Isaac's heart and actually burn him up and offer as a burnt offering? Could Abraham not lie down in his comfortable bed and say to the Lord after the dream, Lord, you know I'm going to do it, Lord. You know I love you more than my only begotten son Isaac. I love thy only begotten son much more, the Lord more. You know that. I don't have to go all this 3-day journey and then the hassle of going all the way up and then all this trouble after everything that I'm going to come back down. Lord, you know I'm going to do it. Don't have to actually do it, right, Lord? Your Christian stance has to be lived out. No other way. Diligent in his business. You've got to do it for your own sake. Do you know that? It's not for God's sake. I mean, in a sense, it's for God's sake, it's for God's glory, yes. But if you do not have real, genuine life experiences of a conviction of honesty and diligence and hard work and holy conduct, you have nothing. You know that, right? You're coming to church, you're spending hundreds of hours studying the Bible, even preaching and teaching, you have a lot of this, but you don't have one genuine, sincere experience of holiness. You talk a lot about it, you can define it, you can spell it, you can argue it, you can do a lot of things about it. And many people, after reading your paper, listening to your unimaginable biblical polemic in arguing and defending all the honor of Christ and all the doctrine. But honestly, when you lie down in your bed, can you recollect one genuine, sincere experience that is not fictitious, that is your own? Do you have it? That's what this third point is. A revealing of your conviction. So you keep doing. Not just once. Every phase of your business life. You may start, and then your business may grow, and then when it keeps on growing, you must maintain your Christian principle and your conviction. Not just once in a while, not just one project, and then after that forget about it, you go back to the way of the world. You can't. You've got to maintain it, you've got to sustain it, and that's why the word diligent in his business. And when you're able to do that, and kings will want you even to stand next to him, to give him the kind of counsel that will now not only impact a business, but impact a nation the way that Pharaoh could not do without Joseph, the prisoner. Remember Joseph, the prisoner? Before that he was Joseph, the dreamer. God gave him the kind of wisdom. The Pharaoh himself said, is there anyone wiser than this young ex-prisoner? He woke up that morning, Joseph, I mean, not realizing that by evening he would be seated sleeping in the palace with his own, I'm sure, beautiful and gigantic bedroom. That morning, dirty, filthy, in prison, hairy, long hair, everything, unkempt. But the moment his name came up, without his knowledge, Pharaoh said, bring this Hebrew up. They got to clean him up, bathe him, cut his hair, dress him up. You can't just look like this and stand in front of Pharaoh. Did he know what was happening? Absolutely not. I mean Joseph. And then Pharaoh shared with him the two dreams. He acknowledged only God could interpret. The two dreams mean the same thing for confirmation that it will certainly happen. They're going to experience 7 years of great plenty, followed by 7 years of great famine, and the famine will be so severe that the people will forget the 7 years of great plenty. That's the interpretation. Okay, Pharaoh, thank you. Can I not go back to prison? He understood, right? Understanding all things. He understood why God gave prophecies. It was meant to impact our present life. That's the purpose of prophecy, whether it is distant prophecy or intermediate prophecy or immediate prophecy, like in this context. Because immediately after this, 7 years of great plenty followed. Now, if you do not change and live your present life in light of what God says will certainly come to pass in the future, then the prophecy is wasted on you. He understood the purpose of prophecy, and so he added. He was taken out of prison to give the interpretation. That's it. But he went one step further. This is what you must do, Mr. Pharaoh. During the 7 years of great plenty, you build barns and locate them in all your major cities. And then you tax the people 20% during these 7 years of great plenty, and they will not feel anything because they will have so much. Even though you tax them 20%, they will still have a lot enough, more than enough. And then you keep this 20% as you tax the people, and then you store them in this great barn and located in all your big cities. And this will be enough to tie the whole nation over the 7 years of great famine. And Pharaoh heard that. Is there anyone wiser than this Hebrew? No. Straight away, gave him his ring, promoted him to the second most powerful man in Egypt, because without that kind of authority and power, he would not be able to turn what he told Pharaoh into reality. He had to be given a lot of power. And so he was only second to Pharaoh himself. And with that kind of power, he got it done. And what he did became the backdrop for God bringing his whole family, Jacob, and his whole family into Egypt. Now, if Joseph just simply interpreted the dream and went back to prison, God's plan of salvation would be in trouble. But he went one step further. He had understanding. And because of his diligence, because of his ability, Pharaoh said, you stand by my side now. You do everything for me. And you and I know this Joseph, when he was with Potiphar, he was already the same man. Trustworthy, diligent. Potiphar never had this kind of slave before in his entire life, whereby he trusted him to look after everyone and everything in his possession without having to check on him, because he knew that this man was 100% trustworthy. And he said, the only thing that I knew that I own was what I see in front of my dining table. Everything else, I don't have to bother, I don't have to check whether he's going to steal from me or not. I just left everything to this young man. And he continued to carry on this when the situation changed. From the head of Potiphar to put in charge of the prisoner, and then now in charge of the whole nation of Egypt, standing next to the king. If God wants you to be a Christian businessman, he can put you in position that is so indispensable to the nation. The kings would tolerate and accept your Christian faith because they find you indispensable to the economy or to whatever they want to do in their company or in their nation. Do you know that? Don't you ever shortchange God. He is truly the Almighty, because he knows that when he saved you and left you behind, you are representing him. And that brings us to the fourth point, the Christian's Lord. A just weight and a just balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. You see? His work. You represent him. Don't you forget that. If you're carnal, you are sending the message that the Lord, my Lord Jesus Christ, is carnal. If you're honest and diligent, wise, trustworthy, now they know the Lord is diligent, wise, trustworthy. All that you are will be the Lord's. That's how important you are to the Lord. You literally represent him. Do you know that? You represent him at home as a Christian parent. You represent him in your work life as a businessman, employer, employee. Why would he not help you represent him correctly in holiness, in godliness, in righteousness according to Scripture? If he has really called you to be a businessman, knowing that you are going to represent him to all the people in your business world, your competitors, all your clients, or whoever they are, including your employees whom you hire. Jesus knows that how you conduct yourself, and if you are really convicted in your heart that you really want to obey God's word, why would He not help you to represent Him correctly according to the scripture in holiness, godliness, and righteousness? He desires to help you do that more than you desire to do that on His behalf, isn't it? And you think God has not equipped us with everything that we need to succeed? Indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's the third person of the Godhead within you. Blessed with the mind of Christ so that you can think like God Himself, the creator of heaven and earth. Is there anyone who can be wiser than that? All you need is to fill your mind of Christ with the knowledge of Christ, and with the Holy Spirit granting you illumination and understanding, you cannot fail unless you choose to fail and not have faith to trust God and listen to the words of man rather than the word of God in your business dealings. Your conduct and behavior is the Lord's. Every decision you make is a reflection of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why would God not equip you and help you to represent Him correctly? Why not? Unless you say that He is weak, not omnipotent. Is He not omnipotent? Is there anyone or anything more powerful than your Heavenly Father that can stall Him and stop Him from accomplishing what He has planned for you in your life if you were to trust Him? No one. Absolutely no one. You know that. No one greater than Him. That is why you can be a Christian businessman if you have the right understanding, which will now determine your right conduct. At the same time, it will reveal the heart of conviction that is within you, whether it will be sustained, for you are representing the Lord Jesus Himself. The world needs to see Christ in you, for them to see the reality of God's love in Christ. Remember, a sinner only has 5 senses, and those 5 senses allow him to have fellowship and relationship with you, just as you with Him. And if you live like Christ through the 5 senses, when they see you, when they hear you, when they look at you, they're going to see Christ. They can't see Christ by studying the Bible like you and I can, because they are not spiritually alive. They are not spiritually open their eyes by God, not yet. But they can see the power of God's love and the reality of the work of Christ on Calvary's cross by your conduct. Why would God not help you to accomplish that? Because that's exactly what the world needs today than at any time in human history, because the world's time is running out. The Lord is returning. The urgency is there. And finally, you have to make a choice. You have to choose. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. You've got to make a choice. You can be very rich because you are smart. But at what cost? Follow the way of the world? You can be very rich. We know that. You look at the world around us, a lot of them who are very, very rich, they came out with almost nothing, and now they are multi-millionaires self-made. 30 years old, even before, they are already millionaire. They are smart, they are clever, and the world is out there in front of them for them to pick all those gold and diamonds and jewels that are readily available. But are they holy and righteous in their conduct and behavior in obtaining them? No. And so for us as children of God, We don't aim for this kind of luxurious lifestyle. We just aim to be holy as my God is holy. And if the Lord doesn't want to bless me with a luxurious lifestyle, I would say, thank you, Lord. Better to be poor and walk in uprightness than to be rich and live in perversion. And with this choice you make, everything else you do will be according to Holy Scripture. And so you will continue to walk uprightly as evidence of your salvation. You will continue to be diligent and do your best, seeking only to be a holy witness for the Lord. Whether they pay you, don't pay you, whether they get promoted, it's immaterial. And then you will be faithful and trust in the Lord, take care of the consequence as long as you do everything according to His word. And then when you make decision, you do it based upon right and wrong, not by respecting faces in judgment. And finally, you don't measure yourself by the abundance of what you possess anymore, like you used to. Now you measure yourself by the reality of your faith and your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in holiness and righteousness according to the Scripture. That's how, if you are called to be a businessman, you can truly be a Christian one. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O God, for the word of everlasting life. Truly it is, indeed, the lamb unto our feet and the light unto our path. In particular, as we focus on the working world this evening, help us to know, O God, that in Thy holy Scripture, especially in the book of Proverbs, Thou hast given to us enough truth to help us in our working life, whether employee or employer, that we can be a holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ without following the ways and the words of sinful men. If only we would believe, we would trust Thee, and do everything according to Thy holy word, with a heartfelt conviction that indeed we are representing my Savior, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that by our good works they will see Christ in us. How can we therefore not do good works that will truly, sincerely represent our Savior, who is indeed a good God and a good Lord to all of us? Help us to make the right choices in life, all the days of our lives, until we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and grant to us the discernment that we need, and the courage and the conviction of heart and the faith to obey Thee. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.